Can we okay? It's gonna get loud in here probably. I do get excited about preaching. I get excited about Jesus Christ. I haven't lost it even after 12 years. It's still exciting. If you've lost that joy and that excitement about Jesus, maybe you ought to get that fixed. I mean, we should never lose it. And we can go through hard times, right? We can go through those times that are very hard and such, but it doesn't mean we have to lose our excitement. We can still be excited about Jesus Christ. Even when things are going wrong, like he said, we know that Jesus Christ is still in control of all of it. God is in control no matter what. We may lose sight of God at times, but the good news is he never loses sight of us. He never loses sight of what's going on, what's in our lives, those things that we're facing. We go, man, God, why are you so far away? And when we think he's the farthest away, that's when he's the closest. But we don't look at it that way because we're trying to take care of it in our own human ways and trying to think of things of how we can solve the problem instead of laying it at Jesus Christ's feet and letting him take care of it. So one of the hardest lessons you'll ever learn is trusting God. It's believing that he knows exactly what's good for your life. You know, it's true that we have children out there, and when we correct them, they think we're out to hurt them. But it's a pure love that we have for them, and we're trying to get them in a good direction. Well, we do the same thing with God. We look at God and go, why are you hurting me? He says, I'm not hurting you. You just have to believe me and trust me. Take my hand and let me guide you along that way. And that's some of the hardest things to do, especially with a person such as myself who relied on myself to get me through things. I relied on my thoughts. I relied on my flesh to get me through things. And so God had to teach me how to trust him and believe in him. Well, as far as the ministry, we have started raising money. We need about $100,000 to get a transition home going for the ladies, okay? I've done a study over the last few years of being in the ministry, and there are three sets of people who suffer the most in jail and prison ministry. Number one is the ladies, okay? They suffer a lot. There's not many people out there ministering to ladies, okay? It's all the men, and men. Now, there are more men in prison than there are women. But does that mean we leave them out?
No.
But that's what's going on, okay? The second is the Spanish. Spanish people are suffering terribly as far as ministry goes. People are not in the jails and prisons. They're not ministering to them. So I got to use like Google Translate, and I got to find all this Spanish stuff that I can to help these men and women because there's nobody in there working with them. And the third is a very sad one, our veterans. They're in prison, okay? They've done wrong. But they suffer terribly being in there. Nobody is in there with them veterans taking care of those men and women, preaching to them. And so, I pray, you know, Lord, where should we have this transition home? Who should we open it up to? And surely the Lord put on my heart for the ladies. And so we'll start off, when we get that house, we'll have four ladies in there starting off small. Anything that's bigger than that, you start losing that personal touch. You need that personal connection. You need to, listen, I'm going to say something funny, but when men and women come out of prison, they need their hands held. Okay, they don't function on the same conscience that you do. They don't know how to make those same decisions that you do. They are so used to making wrong decisions. They are so used to, now we're trying to tell them, you have to come and live in a society that's always rejected you. You have to come and live in a society that's always told you you're no good. So we have to teach them how to live amongst that very society and show society that no, they are worth something to Jesus Christ, and they are worth something to the society, they are worth something to churches, and they're worth something to everybody. And you know, it's a thing, it takes time to just hold their hand and walk them through things. Why? Because everything looks like a roadblock to them. Everything. When I got out of prison, you know, after I got saved, my pastor said, you need to go to community college. Why did he want to send me to community college? So I can learn how to speak. Okay? I spoke street language, okay? And he says, you got to learn how to write. You got to learn how to read English. That's what Pastor John sent me to college to do that. And you know why? Because so as I'm going to go to college, all of a sudden they say, well, here, in order for you to come to college, you have to sit in front of a committee. Because I have violence on my rap sheet. You know what that was to me? A roadblock. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. I'm not going. That's it. All they want to do is try to stop me. They don't want me to be successful in nothing. I'm not going to do that. And it was just shortly after I got saved that I remembered the Lord arresting my heart and saying, no, I want you to go there. And I want you to answer their questions honestly. And I went there and I sat down in front of that committee, and man, I'll just tell you what, it was hard for me to do that. It was hard for me to drop my pride and sit there and have those people question me about my past and question me about the violence that was on my rap sheet, but I did it. And by the time that I was done, you know what they said? We welcome you to our campus. We are so glad you decided to come to our college. I made the dean's list twice, and professors even wrote character witness statements for me after I left there so that I could try to get some of my rights back. Okay? You know what God showed me? They're not roadblocks. They're just hurdles to get over. They're hurdles to get over, but they don't know how to do that. When something comes up, that roadblock is there. Where do they go? The same thing with children of Israel. They were free out of Egypt. Moses said, come on, you're out of here. And the first sign of trouble that came, where they want to go? Why, they're more comfortable there, even though they can die, even though they're going to be starved to death, even though they're going to be treated as slaves, they're more comfortable in that situation than facing that new thing, okay? And that's where liberty behind bars steps in, and we grab them by their hand and go, no, this is not a roadblock. This is just something you have to get over. We can work through this. Come on, take you by the hand and get them over there, okay? And so that's what liberty behind bars is out there doing, is trying to raise that money to be able to start that transition home and have it go on out there functioning. And I do believe, after we get this one up and running and it's going exactly the way it's supposed to, God will have us move around the country and open up other ones. Okay, I do believe that with all my heart. But here we are starting the first one, very nerving. I'm very nervous about it. But God is, you know, he's pushing me in that direction. And I know that's what he wants. And so we're out there doing it. We already had one church who already raised $4,700 towards that transition home. And so we're going to keep track. We're going to put out updates. My wife just found this thing today, so we're going to keep updates out there, and we're going to let everybody know how that raising of the money is going. I believe within a year we'll be up and functioning with that transition home, and I thank God for it. Because, look, one of my prayers is this daily is, Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, if I'm not handling something wrong, if I'm handling something the way you don't agree with, or if I'm doing something with the money that you don't agree with, just go ahead and give it to somebody else, and I'll sit at the church pew and go home from there. Liberty behind bars doesn't make me who I am. Jesus Christ does.
Amen.
And all I want is Jesus Christ to be glorified in liberty behind bars. I want people to be able to sit in church and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, having salvation, and living the whatever days God has left for them, sitting in a church pew just like you are, with your family, sitting by somebody who loves them and they love others. That has always been that my vision. That has always been something God has given me. Because look, there's Luke, there's Autumn, there's Amy, and there's Dale. There's four of us, ex-convict, sitting in your church amongst your people who 12, 13, 14 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted me in this church. Because I'm going to try to break it back in here, okay? I'm going to try taking stuff from here. But here I'm in your church behind your pulpit. Why? That's right. Now, wouldn't you want more people like that in here? Wouldn't you want more people who have been saved and born again, delivered from drugs, and they have a family, and God has done something in their life? What a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I tell you what, you may not be able to get all the goody two-shoes in this church, but I should tell you what, you can get some convicts in here. We can get some convicts in here, and you know what? They can grow in that grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and God can do a work in their life. And I believe that wholeheartedly, Ray, that God changes lives.
Amen.
I believe that. Or else, why do I do it? You know, why don't we put ourselves out there and be ridiculed? We're going, look, pray for the Morris. We're going through some terrible spiritual battles, and just people that we call friends are starting to turn on us, and it's becoming a mess, okay? It's becoming a mess for, you know what the problem is? We're standing on this Bible. I'm not even kidding you. It's for standing on this Bible, doing nothing else. We're not stepping out any bounds, nothing that you guys wouldn't believe in or anything like that. It's just standing on this Bible, standing on the Word of God, standing on Jesus Christ. And people are really just starting to take a toll on people. They're cutting us off for support. I already had one guy drop me for no apparent reason, whatever. Now he's called me back and wants me back in this church. But that's just the stuff you go through constantly, okay? And so God is training us. Through everything that happens, God has trained me and my family. So you pray for the boys as we continue to go through these things. God knows. And it's very hard. I knew tonight that I was going to preach. How do you know that? Because the attack started in my children. The devil attacks my children. Every time I'm going to preach, he gets to my children. It gets to my children. Guess who else it goes to? My wife. Then once it gets to my wife, now it gets to me. Okay? And so all day long, it's just been that spiritual battle. And we've had to talk and sit down and talk about things and, you know, sit down and pray about things and to say, look, we know we're preaching tonight. This is coming. Why? Because the devil hates preaching.
Yeah, right.
The devil hates it. The devil hates what we're doing. The devil does not like us doing liberty behind bars. He absolutely despises it. But you know what? That's all he can despise it all he wants. We're going to keep on keeping on as long as Jesus Christ will have us do it. We'll get out there and preach. We'll get out there and work with those men and women. Right now, I think we have 3 or 4 people from jail and prison or family members from jail and prison who are attending our church right now. And we're teaching them how to, you know, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Teaching them how to get a job. Teaching them what it is to look like, to function in society again, okay? It's so odd to be out in society. I remember when I came home from prison, how odd it was for me being out in society. And I realized, man, I just don't fit in here. I just don't fit in. I don't have those regular thoughts that other people do. And I would sit at the edge of my bed every night because God has given me a woman that I love for the first time in my life. I really wanted to do right because God had given me somebody. But I didn't know how to maintain that. Okay? I didn't know how to maintain that. So with Liberty Behind Bars, I'm going to teach them how to maintain that. Teach women how to be wives and how to be mothers. Most of them that don't know how to do that anymore. It's gone. Okay, it's not a natural thing. That natural affection has been taken away. They've done vile things to their bodies. They've been out there in the streets abusing their bodies, and they just don't know how to love that child, okay? They want to, they desire to, but they don't know how to, and so we want to teach them, and then we want to teach dads how to be men, not biological males. There's a bunch of biological males, but there's no men, okay? Amen. There's no men anymore to look up to. There's no more men in those homes. And you go out there and do a study and go look up the statistics of when there is no male in the home. Right. Go look that up. Go look it up. Go Google it or whatever you have. Go look that up. And I'm telling you, it'll blow your mind to see the failure of the family and what the government has done to separate that family, and then what drugs and everything has done to separate that family. And when that male is missing in the home, it's terrible. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I lived without any males in my life. My mother dated biological men who abused us, okay? And they were vile, okay? It was not a happy thing. And so, you know, it's deep work. Let me just say this. Doctors can't help these people.
Right.
Medicines can't help these people.
Right.
But Jesus Christ can help them.
Absolutely.
He is the answer.
Yeah.
The King James Bible,
that's
Jesus
right.
Christ, and church is the answer. I'm 100% a believer in that, not only for my life, but as we watch the lives of other people and watch what Jesus Christ is transforming in them. And so you keep us in prayer on that because God does have a work, and he's keeping it going. It's not us. And so if you would, real quick, we'll spend a few minutes in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, and I see a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight in our churches, okay? Isaiah chapter 29, and the churches are flooded with this. And like I said earlier, the find men, okay? To find men in churches today is almost, it's almost like, you know, walking up and finding some gold bullion on the side of the sidewalk. It's not going to happen. But to find men in churches, there are males in that church. But even then, even if there are some men that are in a church, they've taken a step back. They've lost that stance, okay? In Galatians 5:1, it says to stand fast. And what happened, brother, with those men, they've been able to be inched backwards. And they've lost that footing. They've lost that hold in what Jesus Christ has given us. He's given us a responsibility as men to hold that ground, to carry that church, to carry that ministry, to carry our families. Then let me tell you this. Why are our churches in such a mess? I can name, 5 churches right now that are going to be closing in the next month. If everything is going so good, why are we losing churches? 570,000 Baptist people since April have left the Baptist church. Why? Because men have stopped standing. They stopped standing fast. And the biological males have stepped up and the churches are closing by the dozen. Why? Well, let's just talk about it. Look at Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. Look what it says. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 says this. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as his people draw near me with their mouth, and their lips do honor me, listen to this, but have removed their heart far from me. What a statement God just said there. With their lips, they're speaking all this Christian stuff. With their lips, they're saying, we'll stand, we'll fight, we'll die for, but yet we're losing ground by the day. Why? Because they're just doing it with their lips. But it says that they personally removed their hearts from God. They made a conscious decision to remove themselves from God. And they talk with their mouth, but there's never any action. It says, but have removed their heart far from me. That's something they made the choice to do. That's a conscious decision that they've done. And here's what happens is people learn how to put on this religious outward thing, but on the inward, they're far from God. And so, you know, people put on these outward religious works and they call that a spiritual change in their life. Let me tell you this, Pastor. There were times that I was able to put on a new leaf. I could turn over a new leaf, but it never stuck. Well, we have people who are doing that constantly. They're always turning over a new leaf, turning over a new leaf, turning over a new leaf. And then you have non-Christians who are looking and going, man, if that's Jesus Christ, I don't want none of that. Yeah. It's all become lip service. We know how to talk the talk, but we sure forgot how to walk the walk, especially in these last days. We are in the perilous times. We are in the last days. It's so important that we stand fast. It's so important that we stand up and take that ground and hold it, that we don't lose ground anymore. But all we do is talk about it.
That's right.
Loving your neighbor, huh? Yeah. How many times that has come up over a past recently, and again last night doing that Bible study that we do on Tuesday night over the Zoom meeting, and we talked about how Jesus Christ, you know what he said? If he abides in us, then we should walk like he walks. Do you know what he did with his neighbors? Do you know what he did with his enemies? He died for them. We can't even love our own neighbors. My goodness. When's the last time somebody came knocking on your door, one of your neighbors, and said, hey, can I have what you have? Why? You have a good life. I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about spiritually. When's the last time somebody came to you and said, I want what you have. I see that you have Jesus in you. I can tell that you're a Christian. I need help. What are they seeing in us? What they're seeing us is this, the world. We've learned how to fit in the world. We've learned how to act like the world. We've learned how to talk like the world. We do everything the world does. Then we come to church and think we're Christians. Why? It's lip service. We're playing lip service in these last days. The most important time that we can... Look at God. God allowed every one of us. I want you to think about what I'm going to say right here. God allowed every single one of us that's in these church pews to live in the last days for a reason. It could have been anybody else at any time, but he has us sitting here. He has us in church, and he has us to go out there and do that work. Why? I don't know why. Why don't you ask him? Because he's got something for you.
Amen.
More than just talk. Being a Christian is more than just talk. There's going to become some suffering. You know what? Miss Stephanie, a lot of people say, you know what, Dale? I am willing up until this point. We become Christians who draw lines with God. We say, Lord, I'm willing to go this far, but you get here and I'm going to have to back up. That's not what he said. He said, when we become willing to go ahead and let God take us over that line. Are you willing tonight to let God take you over that line, to take you to a place where you might get hurt, to take you to a place where you physically might get hurt, emotionally might get hurt, or spiritually get hurt? Because I'm going to tell you this now. There are people who surround me in my home area. I'm telling you right now, if I go and work with them, there's a good chance that I might get hurt. There are missionaries out there tonight who are dying. And we think we're suffering for Jesus? Shame on us. Shame on us. You know what it says? The perilous times, men will be lovers of themselves. Christians, us, we love ourselves more than we love anybody else. Why? It's lip service. Man, it's hard to go out there and love the unlovable. It's hard to go out there and sit across from somebody that you know for 100% sure is somebody who's in prison for a sex crime. How many of you are willing to do that? Be honest with yourself, because I know everybody in your heart already made the answer. Guess who God sent me to? You know what I used to do to those guys in prison? We take their heads off. We leave them for half dead in the shower. Mm-hmm. The first time I ever heard that, I was sitting across from somebody who had done some things that was a sexual crime. I almost couldn't contain myself. And then God broke me. God broke me. He says, you'll sit there and you'll preach Jesus Christ to them just like you will anybody else. You know why? Because God doesn't have levels on sin. Sin is sin. The ground at Calvary is level. He died for them just like he did us. Man, that's hard to swallow, but are you willing? How far are you willing to go? Or is it just lip service? You just talk a good game. How about that biker? How about that one with the bone in her nose and their purple hair? How many of you are talking to her, trying to get her in church? How about that one in Loris that I'm always hearing about that everybody's afraid to go to at night? You can take me there. I'm not afraid of it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, shoot me, stab me, do whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not afraid of it. I work with it all the time. I'm not saying that because I'm some bad dude. There's nobody here that probably couldn't beat me up. I got soft since I got saved. I'm like butter, man. I'm like margarine, like a dough boy. You know? But I'm just saying, I have a heart for them people, man. God has given me an absolute heart for them. Your pastor has a heart for you guys. There ain't nothing he wouldn't do for you. Well, that's me with the people all here. Those are the ones that I love. Those are the ones that I want to be with and to be around. I have a hard time. I'm not saying this against you guys, but I have a lot harder time being around church people than I do convicts. It's a reality. My people, I'm not called the church people. I'm called the convicts. But it's not just with lip service. Not with lip service when I could go... And I got to go do a 4-hour service. And I have my family sitting at home. Just coming off the road, brother. 2-3 weeks coming off the road. A chaplain calls me up and says, hey, I need you to come in and do a 4-hour service with the men and women here. Well, you know, I just came off the road and me and my family are going to relax. God forbid. God forbid if I ever get like that. God forbid if I ever get myself in that condition. Yes, sir, I'll be right there. Why? Because I don't just do lip service. I'm not just talking with my mouth. My heart is there. And I ask God to check my heart. How many of you ask God to check your heart on a daily basis? Ask God to check your heart to see where it's at. Find out where you really stand with God and how far you're really willing to go, because there are many of us. Now, God didn't call all of us to die for a ministry. God didn't call all of us to get beat up for a ministry. But whatever he might have on your life, are you willing to go that far? Are you willing to go so far as that's just more than talk in here? We talk good in here, right? We talk Christian talk in here. We sing songs. Man, we say all this stuff. But what about outside? You see, he says, but have removed their heart from me. Their mouth speaks about me, but they've removed their heart from me. Why? Because today, in this last day and age, I think people are afraid, man. People are afraid of the people out there today. People aren't as willing as they used to be to go out there and talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. People are more afraid. Just to hand a track out today is almost like trying to pull teeth. Why? Because many people have learned to talk the talk, but not walk the walk. Ezekiel chapter 33, verses 31, it says this. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after covetousness. And here's people in Ezekiel, and he's talking about them sitting in a church. He's talking about them sitting there, and the preacher comes in, and they want to hear the word of God. They say, look, preach to us. Tell us what God has to say. And he says, okay. Then he preaches to them, and guess what it says? Then they don't do what they said. That's contradictory. Do you really want what God has to say, or don't you? Then if you want what God has to say, guess what? We have to do it. God didn't just give us a Bible to learn it. He gave us a Bible to live. This is an instruction manual for our life. Look, you can know 1,000 verses. God's not happy with you just knowing 1,000 verses. He wants to know how many you can live. Amen. Okay? He wants to know how many of these verses you can implement into your life and live, not just know them. I know verses, but knowing a verse and then not using it is doing me no good. That's like having a gun and you're getting attacked and you don't use it. What good is that gun on your side? None. God has gave us a sword to use. You know what? When we come to church, do we expect God to show up anymore? Has this become a religious meeting ground? Honest to goodness, I travel around. Look, I see thousands of churches. And a lot of churches, this has just become a meeting place. They come in on Wednesdays, they come in on Sundays, and that's it. They're out of here. Boom, we heard the message, we're out. Shame on us. How many, honestly, you don't have to raise your hand, but in your hearts, how many of you actually prepared your heart for God to show up tonight in this service? Okay? As Christians, and I'm going to tell you, there's far too many people not doing it than there are doing it. And thank God for those who do it, because I believe God answers their prayers. And it's those people who can leave here with something. You're trying to tell me. Now, we say that the King James Bible is the perfect word, blah, blah, blah. We get into all that stuff. But yet, when God preaches something, we don't get nothing out of it? Is something wrong with that Bible, brother, or is it the heart? It surely is not the Bible. Because look, when you come to church, there should be something that you get out of the preaching. God put a preacher up here, not me. I'm talking about your pastor or whoever else he has in here. He puts that preacher up here to come up here and give that word of God. And you ought to expect God to give you something out of it. Whether it be encouragement, whether it be exhortation, whether it be chastisement. God gave you something. God gave you a pastor to preach that word and to teach it.
Amen.
Well, I don't get something from it. Are we those that have lip service? Are we the ones who come in here and this just become a meeting home and then we walk out that door and we're the same people we've always been? God forbid. God take me home to eternity when I get in that position, because I'm just as much danger as anybody else of getting into that. I never want to lose that. I never want to lose the excitement of coming in the church. I never want to lose the excitement of sitting here and singing those songs and worshiping God with God's people. I never want to lose the thrill coming in and meeting new people and being able to sit down and talk. Man, if you've lost that, then get it back. Get on your face and ask God, help me with this lip service. Help me to get my heart right again.
Amen.
God doesn't need lukewarm Christians. There's enough of them out there.
Amen.
He needs some people that are going to stop talking and start doing. Stop talking and start doing. He needs doers, not just talkers. We can talk good. We've been around this long enough. But let's do. Let's do like Ezekiel when he says, you ask me for the word of God, that when he gives it, you don't do it. Don't be like that. Well, bless God. I'm going to turn to Joshua real quick. Joshua chapter 7. You don't have to turn it. You can write it down, check it out later. You should be checking what I got to say. Well, you know, I'm not teaching, you know, some fallacies here. That's another thing. We don't check it anymore. We just trust what God or man has to say. We trust what man has to say over what God has to say. I could say something totally wrong and nobody would ever catch it because we're not checking it. I check. I write stuff. My wife writes stuff down. I'll check it. I'll ponder. You know, that's a good word to think about in that King James Bible. When Mary was told that she was going to be pregnant with the Savior, you know what it says she did? She pondered that. When something comes from behind the pulpit here, out of that Bible, we ought to ponder those things. We ought to think of, if something sticks out, and it could be anything. It don't have nothing to do with the message, but you hear a passage being read, and you go, oh man, ponder on that. Stop right there. Go home and ponder on that. Go home and look that up. Go home and see what God, because God put that in your heart. God wants you to see that thing. He wants you to look that thing up. He wants you to go out there and use it. God uses questions to teach us. God, what does that mean? Go find it out. Well, Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. Joshua 7, 11 says this. Israel hath sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And here's what he's saying. He's saying that we, people in these churches, people don't know, they don't even realize that God has something against them because they're so out of tune with God, they don't even realize they have an accursed thing in their life. If you're not in tune in prayer, if you're not in tune in reading and studying your Bible, how will you ever know what God is trying to teach you or show you about yourself? Oh, we've all reached the level of perfection. God, just don't deal with me. Man, if God isn't dealing with you, you're in trouble. Amen. People wonder sometimes, what's going on in my family? What's the accursed thing that you have in your family? What is God trying to show you? You know, as I grow in this Christianity, I've only been saved a little over 11 years. As I grow in this Christianity, when I first got saved, there were things that God left in my life because there was more important things that they had to get out. But you know what? As I grew in this, I realized that God, there were things that God used to allow in my life. He doesn't allow in my life anymore. And why? Because I'm growing and I'm maturing. And he's telling me those things are time to go now. It's time to get rid of that now. It's time to get rid of that now. But you know what? There's times I say, well, God, you know what? You've let it stay in my life this long. It must be okay. No. You get it out. Now, Lord, I know you let me, you know, keep it in this long. You must allow me to keep it. You see, I'm keeping that accursed thing in my life. But if I'm not in tune with God, how am I going to know what that is? Church, what is the hidden accursed thing that might be in your life? What is that very thing? Loving your neighbor? Is that one of the things that God is trying to show? That we don't love our neighbors like the Bible tells us we can. Either we believe we can love our neighbors like Jesus, or we don't believe that. Either he's given us the power and the ability to do that or not. There's no fence when it comes to Christianity. It's called lukewarm. Either we're hot or we're not. What is the hidden accursed thing in your life? What is that thing that you're talking about with your lips, but your heart is far from God? You removed yourself from God. We can actually remove our hearts from God. That's why David said, create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Because we can get ourselves out of it. We can get ourselves out of character. We can get ourselves away from God. James chapter 4, verse 8 says, draw nigh unto God. Well, yeah, I explained that word nigh unto you guys the last time I was here. And so right now I am near that table. But I can't get to that table because there's something between me and that table. In order for me to draw nigh, I have to remove this thing out. God doesn't want us to live near him. He wants us to live nigh unto him. That means whatever's in between me and him must be removed. Amen. But if you're just talking lip service, you will have no clue what is in between you and God. And you'll wonder, why isn't he hearing my prayers? Why isn't he blessing my reading? Why is my church life so dead? Because God is trying to show you that thing that's in your life. Why you can't draw nigh unto him? And it says this, if you draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. Don't you want God to draw nigh unto you? Don't you want to have more than just a close relationship with God? Christians have become comfortable with close relationships. Not with God. We need to have that nigh relationship. And it goes on and says, clean your hands. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. He says, clean your heart, you double-minded. You see, he gives us ways that we can be nigh unto God. It's to move whatever's out in between us and God. It's more than just a talk. If my Christian life was just a talk, I'd still be the same person that I was out there on the streets. But it's not just a talk. There's a doing. There's a relationship. It's not just a lip service. I used to have a lip service called religion. And religion never changed me. Religion can't change a person like myself. Religion can't even change a church person. It takes Jesus Christ to change a person. And when Jesus Christ stepped into my life, he took away that religious nonsense and he gave me himself. He gave me a personal relationship with him. A one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ. And that lip service goes out the door because there are times I get caught in that. There are times that I get just in there and I'm talking the talk and I'm walking the walk. And God has to bring me to a place, man, where he humbles me. That I may see, oh my goodness, I've got myself here again. And he shows me what's in between him and me, what's in between him and I. And he wants that gone. Man, my goodness, God loved us so much that he gave his son. He died for us. Don't you think he wants to always be nigh unto us? Yeah. He doesn't want to If you're married in here, man, don't, when you and your wife get in an argument or a little fight, oh, I forgot you don't do that, my bad. Just kidding. When you're getting a little argument or something and you're drawing away from each other, I can't stand that feeling. What do? Immediately I run to my wife and go, honey, what did I do wrong? I am sorry. Forgive me. You know what? You know what the Bible says? That God will hinder my prayers if I'm not right with my wife. He didn't say she had to be right and I had to be right. He just said, no, if I'm wrong with my wife, he's not going to hear my prayers. It doesn't matter who's right or wrong. The man needs to step up and say, honey, it doesn't matter who's right or wrong. If there's anything that me and you have against each other, I want to take care of that right now. Let's just get it done over with. We ought to be that way with God. God, what's in between me and you? What's going on in my life? Lord, if I've been just talking, I'm tired of the talking. Let's get to the walking. Let's get to the doing. Lord, I'm tired of the lip service. I'm tired of living on the outside of you. Man, you know, it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Then why are people in fear as Christians? Because they're living on the outside of God's perfect love. That's how a Christian fears. You know what it says? That fear brings torment. You notice it didn't say torture there. The translators didn't put the word torture in there because torture has breaks in between. But the translators use the word torment because torment is constant. Eternal torment never stops. When you're in fear and you're living on the outside of God's love, you're in constant fear. That's a constant torment that you're in. Never stops. How do you get back to that? Stop your lip service, confess to God, draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. He'll take care of it. That's a wonderful, wonderful life. Well, let's just got a few more verses here and then we'll end up closing up. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. And this is what it says in verse 20 and 21. Jeremiah 42, 20 and 21. For you dissembled in your hearts. That word dissemble means to one who hides or speaks under a false pretense or to conceal or disguise. He says, you're disguising in your heart. You're concealing what you really are. You're trying to pretend. You're trying to put airs on. And we do that in church a lot. Okay? You know, we just had an argument out there in the parking lot with our family member, and we come in church and put a big smile on our face. That's dissembling. You're lying. You're concealing what really happened. They don't have to come in and tell everybody. But listen, when somebody comes up to you, they're like, well, how's your day? Go, oh, it's going wonderful. That's dissembling. Okay? You know what Jeremiah just said? That's what we do in our hearts against God. That's what we do. Look what it says here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, 20, it says, for you dissembled. That means you put on a false appearance. You put on a disguise in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord. You sent the man of God unto the Lord. And you say, Pastor, here's what I want you to do. I want you to study, and I want you to bring the word of God to us in church. Don't you guys want your pastor to bring you the word of God?
Yes.
Don't you want him to come and preach to you what God has given him? Yes. Well, that's what they're saying in Jeremiah. But Jeremiah says, look, man, you tell me to go out there and study. You tell me to go out and do this, but your heart, you're dissembling in your heart. You're putting on a fake. You're putting on a false pretense. It's not what you really want. And he goes on and says, when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And he goes on and says, and now I have this day declared it unto you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he has sent me unto you. Hey, how about it tonight? Do you really want what God has for you to say? Because I'm going to tell you this right now. There have been times I got on my face and said, God, I really want your will for my life. And then when God starts forming that will in my life, I go, oh, Lord, what happened? Mm-hmm. Oh, Dale, remember how willing you said you were with your mouth? Mm-hmm. You see, God will try our hearts because we say a lot of our mouth. And then when God starts making that path the way he wants it, and he starts doing his will in our life, we'll step back and go, whoa, Lord, what's going on here? Now, remember, Dale, you wanted my will for your life. There were times in this ministry where God has absolutely took the carpet out from underneath our family. He took everything from us. We had a few dollars left in the bank account. There was two people. This is when I first started the ministry. And we told God, God, we'll go anywhere. We'll do anything. Me and my wife prayed next to our bed. Man, watch what you pray. Mm-hmm. Because if he starts answering it, man, and you're not prepared for it, it'll catch you off guard. But we pray, Lord, wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do, we'll go and do it. We pray that next to our bed. And then God started moving in our life, Tim. The ministry started. Now, we're never going to jail and prison. I said, no, I'll never go back into jail and prison. I'll never go back in those places. I don't need to go back in those places. Well, God started stirring in my heart by using these two older folks to get me to go and to give my testimony in the jail. They finally convinced me to go, so I went. And I gave my testimony one time, gave my testimony a second, third, fourth time. The fourth time, Ray, I knew that God was calling me to the jail and prison ministry. I'm walking out of the jail, got sheriff deputies next to me, and I'm bawling. I just raised my hand right in the hallway. I said, Lord, I'll go. You open the door and we'll walk through it. And God said, okay. Within a week or so, we got about $7, maybe $8 left in our bank account. Our bills are piled up high. Well, Lord, these two men just asked for Bibles in the jail. What do? We need food in our house. We need bills paid. I got this money, but Lord, I'm not sure what to do. So we're going to go ahead. I'm going to get Luke. I'm going to get Autumn. I'm going to get my wife, and we're going to sit around the kitchen table. New Christian. Just not long after I've gotten saved. Here comes the challenge from God, because I told him, I want your will in my life. Remember, I said that with my lips. So now God's going to challenge me. How far am I willing to go? We prayed around that table. We said, Lord, we have so-and-so much. These two men need Bibles. We also have bills. And we also need some food. What do we do? I knew instantly, send the Bibles in. I knew instantly. There was no question about it. I looked at my family, and I said, we're going to send those Bibles in. And my daughter, Autumn, looked at us. She said this. She said, Dad, are we going to have to live in a cardboard box? Because we're about to lose everything. I said, if we do, we have each other and Jesus. That was my answer to her. Because that's where we were. So I sent those Bibles in. You think people just poured on us and gave us a ton of money? No, nothing came in. Nothing. Nobody knew about this. I didn't go out there and tell anybody. We just sat down and prayed, and we started learning that God was going to be able to take care of the Morey family. Amen. No matter how bad it got, because with my lips I told God, I'll do anything and I'll go anywhere. Whatever you want, you make it happen in my life. And it was going to make it happen in my life. Let me tell you, it's been the most challenging life that I've ever lived. When God starts saying, all right, let's test that heart then. You say, what happened? Out of nowhere, I don't know how it happened. Nobody ever knew about it, but somebody dropped a $25 gift card in our car, on the front seat of our car. That's what God did. You know what the ultimate reward was? Our kids got to see our faith in Jesus. Our kids got to see Jesus Christ grow in their mom and dad. Our kids got to see Jesus Christ raise up somebody who was in that jail and prison on the other side. And now he's raised a man up to go and preach to those men and women. And for 7 years now, for 7 years, God has been growing this ministry. Why? Because we said, Lord, we are willing to go. And with more than just our lips. Let me just tell you this. If you're out in the ministry today, there's a terrible price to pay. I love seeing your smiling faces. I love coming here to preach, but it's not like that everywhere. We are very despised, Pastor. They do not like me and my family. They're very jealous over me and my family, and they despise us, and they make it known. Are you willing to pay that price? I'm just telling you, recently, within the past 3 weeks, me and my family have been attacked, and it's going to continue on. But how far are you willing to go with it? How far? It's not. I'm not talking about just the physical. The spiritual attacks are even worse. Those spiritual attacks are what tears the family apart. And if that man isn't going to stand up and take his family and carry them on his back, that family's in trouble. God instructed a man to take care of that family. He says, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. And by doing so, I'd be willing to give my life up for my wife and my children. Not only in ministry, but even outside the ministry. But how far are we willing to go today? How far are we willing to go? And here's what it is. It's not for Amy, Autumn, and Luke. It's for the men and women that are in jail and prison across the United States. That's what we pay the price for. I'm gonna share one verse with you and I'm gone. Lip service? Well, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm gonna close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he says this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God. You know, we like to bless God when things are going easy, don't we? Well, it's so easy when we're on that mountaintop to bless God. But he didn't say just bless God on the mountaintop. Give thanks when? Always. Rejoice when? Ever, forevermore. Always. Good and bad. Give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever you're going through tonight, it's God's will for your life. He said, thank me for it. That's hard. Look what he says here. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. But do we turn to him in our time that we need comfort? The first thing we do is turn to somebody else. Or turn into a human being in place of God, who's the God of all comfort. Why? Because we don't believe in our hard times that God is the God of all comfort. If we did, he'd be the first one we went to. I'm not saying don't go to your pastor or your friend. I'm not saying don't go there, but why does God take second place? If we really believe he's the God of all comfort, then why do we leave him second place instead of turning to him first, then our friends? He's the God of all comfort, who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort who? Them. There are things in our life that we're going to go through, not for our sakes, but to help others. Are you willing to go through what God has to put you through to help others? You see what that verse just said? That he's going to comfort us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them that are in trouble. How far are we willing to go to help somebody else? How far are we willing to allow God to take us? Or do we just continue on with our lip service? Well, that's up to you tonight. That's up to you tonight. Pastor, I'm done.